Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. You know, in today's episode, I chat with Norma Q. Brown. She's our family care director, and we talk about preparing parents for spring break, especially regarding their children's online behavior and conversations about sexuality. Norma provides practical strategies for parents to foster a safe environment for open dialogue, ensuring meaningful conversations about online safety and appropriate behavior. And this will be helpful not just over the spring break. We discuss the importance of ongoing communication, setting clear boundaries, and addressing idleness. We emphasize the value of empathy, vulnerability, and guiding your kids through their spiritual journeys, both in everyday life, as well as times like spring break when schedules and routines are disrupted. For everything that we discuss in today's episode, you can download a free PDF of that at bebroken.org/springbreaksuccess. Also, check out today's show notes because we're going to put a lot of their links in there. Also, they're helpful with family resources. And of course, friends, we'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast to help others find it. So let's go ahead and get started in today's super helpful conversation with Norma. All right. Well, Norma, how's it going today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So this is a little bit different than just kind of the normal broadcast where I've got a special guest on the program that maybe I may or may not have already met before or whatever, because you are actually our family care director in our ministry. So this feels a little bit more like just a kind of a standard weekly meeting that we have. But I would love for our audience to get to know you a little bit. So why don't you share with our audience just kind of who you are, a little bit about your own kind of parenting story, and then how you got connected with Be Broken.
Hey, hi. Again, my name is Norma, and I am a parent of three children, so two teenagers and 1 9-year-old. And I have been, the way I got connected to Be Broken was through a homeschool convention and I actually went there about 2 years ago. I've been actually homeschooling for about 13 years, but I went there 2 years ago and I heard John Fort have a session, and I just truly loved the way he was very transparent and vulnerable around the topic of sex and sexuality, to the point that it was something that unique that I had not seen in Christian settings before. And so I told my husband that he should go to another session of his, and from there, him and John connected, and they've been working together. My husband's volunteering for the father-son portion, and from there, this job position opened, and my husband's like, I think you can do this, and I'm just started laughing because I'm like, are you serious? Like, do you know what's on my plate? And so, but just looking through the job description, it intrigued me, and it was a matter of prayer and out of obedience. I'm like, okay, let me see what this is about. And here I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, and for some of our longer time listeners and viewers, you've probably heard or recognized that name, John Fort, because he's our director of training, been with us for about 7 or so years. And before Norma came on, he was sort of the face and voice around a lot of our parenting and family care resources. But he was especially thrilled when we finally got a full-time family care director. That did not mean that he had to wear multiple hats anymore, but, it's exciting to have you on board, Norma. And I'm really excited about the conversation that we're going to have today because, you know, what we try to do is we try to really help, parents to be able to understand how to have conversations with their kids that are really meaningful, that really build that bond between parent and child. So that when a lot of the just challenges and difficulties around sexuality pop up, it's not, overwhelming. Today's conversation, we really want to talk about spring break, especially, and that could be widened out to maybe other times where you're just outside of your routine, just things aren't normal. Spring break definitely fits that, but also spring break fits a definition of where there can sometimes be heightened temptation for kids, especially teenagers. And so we want to try to help parents prepare for that, but have it be part of a larger ongoing conversation. And so why don't you just kick us off and help us to understand some of the challenges that parents are facing, and then how we can step into, or how you can help parents step into spring break without fear and, you know, anxiety.
Okay, so it's true. Breaks, times of idleness, times of unstructured time can lead to inappropriate online behavior a lot of times. And so that is a concern that has, and about 70% of parents, according to a research, that they're concerned about what their children are doing online, particularly during breaks, such as spring break, where there is a lot of unstructured time. And so another survey indicated that 75% of the teenagers have either accidentally or intentionally viewed pornography online by the age of 17. And a lot of it was based on boredom / curiosity. And so on average, we know that children are exposed to pornography at the age of 11. And so when we look at average, we know that that could be a lot younger and mm-hmm. also, you know, an older teenager. And for me, even though I predate online activity in my childhood, I was exposed at 7 years old. So again, the likelihood for children to be exposed is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. And now sometimes when you start giving statistics on stuff, it can really freak people out. It can really like scare parents. And honestly, if you really started digging out all of the data around online activity and pornography and all that, I mean, I think you would have a lot of parents that just feel like they need a paper sack because they're hyperventilating and they just need, you know, they need resuscitation. But why is it so important that parents do know that they can't just stick their head in the sand and think that, you know what, I'll just cross my fingers for times when like spring break comes up or when my kids are, you know, reaching some of these ages? Why is it important that parents actually know this is a reality and it's not some other kid, it's your kids?
Right. I think it's important. I think we need to start a different framework as to how we parent. And this is part of our parenting. A lot of times we want to leave it to the church or to
the school or something. Yeah.
To be able to educate them. But the reality, this is part of parenting. And again, if we leave it up to other, maybe even a school, it probably will not be the same worldview framework that we will want to expose our children to. And so it is important that, you know, we want to cross our fingers, but the reality is our world is so sexually saturated that it is important for us to be able to take the lead on that.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about something that might seem a little even odd to talk about in the day and age in which we live, and that is the idea of idleness. And the reason I think that might be a little bit odd is because we think, can there even be idle time in the world in which we're living, because there's just all these devices and all these screens and all this kind of stuff. But talk a little bit about idleness and especially how that may pertain to a season like a spring break.
Mm-hmm. So idleness is a state of inactivity. There's no clear direction, no productivity, nothing that you can say, okay, I accomplished this. And so a lot of times the impact of idleness is boredom, frustration, or sometimes unhealthy habits come from that. And so it is important that we know that during this time, a lot of times us as adults, we probably know, okay, maybe I could tackle this. I could clean this. I have this extra time. But as children, they sometimes are lost. And if there are no clear direction or giving guidance, they're going to do whatever their friends are doing or whatever is easier for them to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a parent,
yes.
So what has some of that maybe even look like in your own home? Like how have you seen idleness be something that can even creep into your own kids' lives?
Yeah, for sure. It is one of those things that somehow, I don't know, devices call their names. I don't know what it is, but there is such an attraction to it. And I mean, even for adults as well. And so I do have to be very conscientious and to tell them, go outside and play or do this. Or, you know, I have actually a little jail cell for devices that I do. And it's like, they hate it. The thought of putting it in there is like, they feel like they're putting their heart in there. And it's just like, guys, it's just for a little bit, like relax. So practical things that I think is important that we look at, because they don't want to do it. They're not going to willingly do it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So when you and I are talking about doing this particular podcast and really talking about, hey, how can we help parents kind of prepare for spring break and not feel like they're just, oh my goodness, it's already Tuesday on spring break and I'm trying to figure out what to do. We talk about trying to break down these, having specific conversations before spring break, during spring break, and then after spring break. So let's kind of go through each of these. So what are some, first of all, why is maybe that an important way to look at it? And then what are the conversations that are really important to have before spring break?
So it is just important to have conversations with our children, period. And sometimes I know it can seem hard, especially when a child is not as responsive or doesn't seem like they're interested on the topic. But at the end of the day, we're wanting to protect our children. We're fostering trust and connection in the process. And that's the main purpose for the conversations. And so when we start with pre-break conversations, pre-spring break. And so we want to make sure that there are some clear expectations. When do we use this device? For example, in our home, you're not allowed to have devices in bathrooms or a bedroom. It doesn't matter. There's no exceptions. And so again, if your child needs to understand what those clear expectations really are, and then also to be able to just discuss online safety, right? What is appropriate? What is not? Don't share personal information. A lot of times we hear, you know, that the elderly are targeted, but it's not true. Like, children are targeted a lot. And so we all are, right? And so there are very savvy people out there that's their job to target us. And so it's important for us to equip our children in the process of how to handle harmful behavior and content. And again, we want to be that safe person for them, which is why that conversation needs to initiate from us first.
Now, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, okay, I can see a parent that just heard that and go, okay, great. So what you're telling me, Norm, is I grab this information that you've given me and I have a really quick, 10-minute conversation with my kid a week before spring break and I'm done, right? I mean, like, I've done, because I've told them, this is the rules, this is what you can and can't do, and then this is why, because I don't want you to be like trafficked, scared to death, right? And I can see how a parent could maybe take that and just go, oh, I'm going to have this one really small, singular conversation. But that's not really what you're saying, right? We're talking about, what is the whole week, maybe, or maybe couple of weeks before spring break? So can you kind of try to put this in a practical way for parents to see, okay, but Norma, how do I actually do that? Especially, let's talk about setting the clear expectations. Does that mean I just come in and in 5 minutes I go, this is what's going to happen? How do you set clear expectations where it's kind of like you get the whole team on board?
So again, the whole conversation aspect of it is one of those things that it's not a one and done. Kind of the way I like to think about it is when we, with our little kids, we never say just one time, oh, what do you say? And expect the child to say thank you every time thereafter. It just doesn't work that way. I think we've said it till we've been blue in the face. And sometimes we've been like, okay, I cannot believe you just did not say thank you after a million times of saying it. So again, this is ongoing. Is it work? Absolutely. It is one of those things where we would have to set aside our own agenda, set aside our own to-do list, and to be able to have those ongoing conversations. And again, it may not work the first time around. You know, they may just be like, oh, what are you talking about? Especially if they're not used to having these conversations with you. And so again, you're trying to little by little, and something practically is literally having written down. Because a lot of times children tend to have selective listening. No, I heard you say this, not that, right. And so if it's written down, they know exactly what was said. And it's one of those things kind of like reflective listening, where it's, reflective reading for all that matter, is like, what do you understand from this? Like, what is, cause they're like, that's not what I read. That's not what I heard. So it's something to just be able to implement it in a visual way as well.
What about, as you're saying that, especially with the visual, I'm thinking, okay, a lot of stuff gets put on refrigerators, right? Because that's a good sort of central, everybody at some point during the day or even the week has their eyes on the refrigerator at some point. Is that a good place to maybe put those kind of things and maybe even map out like the week? Like, could you have almost a calendar for the week and say, hey, here's what Monday is going to look like. Here's what Tuesday looks like. Here's what Wednesday. Because also, how important is it to realize that because spring break, it's a different, you're not in your normal routine or your normal schedule. How important is it to maybe map out what the week each day could look like in terms of screen time and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, it's very important. I think, again, we have to do what works for our own family. So a fridge calendar would work in some families, but some have weekly planners that children like to check off. So whatever, again, works for the family, is important to be able, or even that could be part of the discussion. Where can we place this? Where can we put this? Could it be in your room? Could it be on your door? That we all are aware and it's visible for all of us to know, like, these are the boundaries. This is what we want to map out for the week. These are the activities we want to complete and things like that.
Yeah. So now once you've kind of done the pre-spring break work of just kind of saying, hey, we know this week is coming. We want to be prepared for it. We've set clear expectations. We're trying to train our kids in these ways. What does it look like? What are the conversations to have during spring break? What does that look like?
So during spring break, we want to have consistent check-ins. Ask open-ended questions like, what have you been watching? Has there been anything that has piqued your interest? One of the main things that I want to communicate is that we definitely want to have and foster a non-judgmental zone. I had a professor that used to say, don't should on yourself, right? And we shouldn't should on our children either. Like, you should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that. Because again, sometimes that creates rebelliousness. And, you know, who wants to be told what to do every second of the day? Not I. So, and I know teenagers kind of rebel from that. So it is important that we are, you know, I think also too, what happens is that as adults, we tend to forget that we were children once mm-hmm. as well, and that we were tempted once as well, and that we liked music that our parents didn't like. You know, like, we gravitated to certain things that our parents didn't, and we never wanted to be judged or put down or looked down upon. And so it's important that we do that with our children as well, that we are open to hearing what we don't have to necessarily like it or embrace it or run with it, but it is one of those things. How else are you going to know what your child is into or interested in if we just aren't there to listen with them?
Yeah. And I like the idea of empathy there. I like to say that every parent is a veteran child. Like, we all have experience. We all were children once. And so just being able to see it in that way, at least helps you to connect in that. Now, as far as check-in goes, okay, so you're having these regular times of what's going on, all that kind of stuff. So what happens? How should a parent respond if, hey, one of the clear expectations, a boundary was crossed or whatever? What does that look like in terms of the relationship and what to do when the child breaks one of those expectations?
That's a good point. Actually, I think that goes back to the pre. I think those have to be set prior to. So just know that if this happens, B happens.
The consequences are labeled out in the beginning part too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that the child is well aware of that. So there's no, but this is what you said, or surprises. Yeah. You know, we're not going to do anything extra, but we would stick to that. And at the end of the day, you do want to stick to what you have written, because then they're just not going to want. Who's going to follow the rule if they know they can break it and nothing's going to happen?
Yeah. So what else needs to go on during the week of spring break?
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things like encouraging outdoor activities, hobbies, reading, family activities. Again, this is something that we need to set aside our own to-do list to be able to engage our children. We want, a lot of times our children aren't going to initiate, and it's our job to do that for them. And so another thing that's very important is having conversations about temptations. We're all human. They'll be tempted. We have been tempted. We will be tempted. And so just talking to them about the realities of like pornography, the dangers, the harmful effects that it causes for self-image, our minds, relationships. And so, but normalizing the fact that we are curious. We're God made us, you know, to be curious. Mm-hmm. And so it's, that's okay. It's not, that's not the problem. It's what we do with that curiosity. And so having open and honest conversations and discussions is really at the core of it. Again, where it's non-judgmental.
How helpful might it be? And this could be something maybe that is even part of the pre-spring break conversations, but certainly during. How helpful is it for kind of getting back to that empathy conversation? How important is it for the parents to share their own history of spring breaks, of where they might have said, hey, I didn't handle that time, that idle time well? How important is it for parents to share their own story of brokenness in an age-appropriate way with their kids?
And like you said, it's key. Age-appropriate is very important. But definitely, I think what's important to know is that children a lot of times feel like our parents don't understand us, right? They're old, they're antique, whatever they want to use. And so a lot of times when we can relate with our children, and a lot of times it's through our story, they feel more connected and they feel, okay, my parent will understand or does understand, or, oh, wow, they were tempted as well. And so that also fosters a connection and a bond between a parent and a child to be able to process certain things. And again, we're modeling for our children vulnerability. And if they don't see it from us, they won't do it themselves. And a lot mm-hmm. of times, a lot of people don't know how to be vulnerable. And so it's important that they see it modeled in us.
Can you talk a little bit about what that maybe has even looked like for you and your family? Like, what does it look like for you and your husband to be vulnerable with your kids? And like, what impact has that had on them?
Yeah, even like pornography, for example, I've shared with my children that I was exposed to pornography even at the age that I was exposed. Did I share with them what I saw? Absolutely not. You know, I didn't go into details, but I did share like my age, also my parents' response and how it affected me. And so that's important to be able to, and even share with them, I want to be able to respond differently to you. I want to be able to. So for me, for example, I did share it, but it was silence after that. And so I didn't know what to make out of that, where it's like, okay, so I know this is bad, but I don't know what to do with this. And there was never a conversation, a follow-up conversation or anything. And so for me, it's important to share with them that I would like to process with them if and when they do get exposed to something that's not appropriate, and me be a support/safe person for them.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that part of this too is just trying to have conversations about helping our kids to recognize that curiosity is a natural part of what it means to be human. I mean, the fact that we were made by God, who we're told is a creator, creative, and we're made in his image. There's a sense in part of creativity is we're constantly curious. We're constantly thinking about like, what about this? What about that? You know, how do you help, like, especially during, let's say, a spring break or a time where you're out of your normal schedule and there's a lot of other things, good things and bad things that can draw their eye, especially of curiosity. How do you bring into those conversations also an understanding of God's design for curiosity, God's design for sex, and helping your children know where those lines are drawn, rather than just bringing the hammer of truth down and being like, this is what it is? How do you help your kids explore their curiosity while also helping them to understand that it can't be without boundaries?
Yeah, and a lot of it is you want to be that person. So if they have a question, you want to be that person that they go to. I was looking at a survey, and all the answers that a lot of the children responded is that they went to their friends or online. Those were the only two responses that they provided. And it was honestly shocking to see, like, there was not one person that said a parent. Mm-hmm. And these are like teenagers now, today in age. I know we've done a speech, you know, a presentation at a church. And we asked the question, who was taught by their parents? And literally not one person really raised their hand. And so why are we repeating this generation after generation? And so we want to be able to break that in our, for our children, and to be able to be the safe person, again, we're going to be able to provide that worldview, the biblical worldview, to our children, and for them to know that it is safe for them to come with whatever question. And again, it's one of those things that even though you may want to scream in the inside and then go scream in a pillow hours later, but at that time, like, self-control is a fruit of the spirit, right?
Yeah.
Let's be able to demonstrate that to our children and just be able to be that safe, because they're looking for someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And again, curiosity, if we shut their questions down, that's shutting down their curiosity. And it's like, that's counterintuitive as to what we want them to do. No, we want you to be curious, and we want to be that person to be able to answer those questions for you.
And I will say this, one of the best ways to shut your kids down is to be shocked and appalled and disgusted when they bring up something that on the inside causes you to go, I'm shocked, I'm appalled, I'm disgusted. But like you said, what we've got to do is we've got to say, this is an opportunity to connect. This is an opportunity to have a conversation and to help guide them in the ways of truth and goodness. So, okay, so spring break's over. And now the parents can go, whew, okay, we reached the finish line, or not. Why is it important that there are ongoing, what are the conversations that need to be had after spring break?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things is kind of just to look and reflect, like, okay, what went well, what worked, what didn't, what challenges happened. Again, this is one of those things where these conversations are not meant to just be a one-time and done thing. It's actually, for those parents who already have these conversations, it's one of those just encouragement, keep at it, keep going, you've got this, God's got you type of situation. If you're not used to these conversations or are comfortable with these conversations with your children, this is hopefully and let's get to it type of encouragement, because the reality is that this is, again, part of their lives. And if we look around, this world isn't getting any safer, if you will. And so it is important that these conversations just continue. This is just more of a catapult, I would say, to encourage parents to just go at it. And yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable, but you'll get more comfortable the more you do it, just like anything else.
Yeah. Now, what does it look like for, because, you know, you're coming out of this, you want to reflect, you want to learn from it. Like, you want to learn what went well. You also want to learn, okay, there were hiccups in this. And, you know, what does it look like for parents to use this or leverage these moments as an opportunity, maybe to introduce new aspects to the conversation that are kind of setting their kids up for success later? For instance, okay, you're coming out of spring break, your kid made a poor decision with one of their devices. And yes, there were explained consequences or whatever for that. But what does it look like maybe afterwards to go, you know, you're going to have a lot of decisions that you need to make in life, and maybe to shift into even a different category than just, let's say, what are you doing with your eyes or sexuality? How important is it to look at these moments, these seasons, as great opportunities for really helping their kids learn how to grow up into maturity and making decisions on their own, where it doesn't feel like, because I feel like the reason I'm asking this question is I feel like a lot of times parents have a lock my kid down and lock all devices and just kind of cage their children until they're adults and somehow think that they're going to open the cage and they'll just be flourishing, thriving adults. Why is it important to use these opportunities, especially when there has been maybe a poor decision made, to help them learn how to think through that on their own moving forward?
I think it's important for children to know that they are able to make mistakes under our roof. Again, a lot of times, even if we look at our own lives, when we either have failures or mistakes, we've learned from them a lot of times. And so this is the opportunity to take where we don't bash them for a poor decision. We don't add to the shame, but we take that as an opportunity. You use that word, which I think is extremely important for us to reframe that to be an opportunity, not like, oh, I can't believe you just did this, but this is an opportunity for us to be able to disciple at the end of the day, disciple mm-hmm. our child, and to be able to walk them through, okay, how can we do this better? What can we work and also the bigger, the greater implications, right? There's this is playing into your adulthood. Like you're one day you're going to have ramifications. And just, I was just talking to one of my daughters. One of the stipulations that we have is that she's not allowed to text one-on-one with a boy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, I don't like, you know, and I'm just like, I don't expect you to understand. I don't expect you to like it. It's okay. You know? And I'm like, but one day your husband's going to be like, thank you for not allowing her to talk to all these boys. You know what I mean? So
right, yeah.
It is one of those things that everything we do has implications and will have effects into our adulthood. And so it's important to start now. Right. So.
And you're bringing up a good point because here's the thing. We're a parent is always ahead of their child in chronology and life experience, hopefully in wisdom, all those kinds of things. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to sort of stretch. We're trying to draw our kids up. You can't do that all at once. You can't take a 5-year-old and expect them to be a 20-year-old. But I love what you're saying because there's certain things. Sometimes we think that I need to, until my child can perfectly understand why lines are drawn in a certain place, well, I guess we shouldn't have any lines. Instead of going, no, sometimes there are times like what you said is you don't understand this now. You may not fully understand. It doesn't mean that you're not trying to explain it to him, trying to give her the why, but she might go, I don't get it. That's okay. This is still where the line is drawn. And I think it's so important for parents to hear that. Parents in today's world need to hear that is actually a godly, good, right way to be with your kid. It's a loving thing to do.
Correct.
And so talk about that as far as, you know, sometimes a spring break, sometimes these types of situations and moments in life can feel like nothing but fear for a parent. How important is it for them to reframe it as an opportunity to love their kids well through maybe a challenge?
Yeah, I think it's important for parents to understand that at the end of the day, God chose you as a parent, and he could have chosen anyone else. And sometimes I don't know what parent feels super adequate. Like I got this parenting thing under my belt, and you could be 3-5 children in, and it doesn't matter. Like there's still some inadequacies that parents feel. And so the reality is that it is important to just be able to see everything that we are doing as opportunities. And more importantly, I would say that we are contributing to their testimony. And so one of the things for me is that it's very sobering to know that it's like, this is their walk, right? With Christ, their walk in this life, and that I am here to influence and hopefully help guide. But at the end of the day, this is part of their testimony. And I need to see them. They need to have a real encounter with God themselves. And, you know, hopefully I can help in the process. And God's using me in that process and understanding that part of parenting and these conversations is part of that process, that will help me to just be able to relinquish a lot of the control that a lot of parents may want to have sometimes.
Yeah. Now, as we wrap up here, you know, for a lot of the parents that are listening, we're just, you know, a handful of weeks away from a lot of the spring breaks starting up. What kind of final words would you want to have of just maybe encouragement and hope for these parents who are saying, okay, I want to do this right. I want to do this well. What would you want to say to them?
Mm-hmm. I would not focus on doing it right necessarily. I would just focus on having our own hearts and our own minds willing to be, to hear from God and to continue to ask God for wisdom as we parent our children. And having that, that's really, you know, the Bible talks about asking God for wisdom and he will give it generously. And that to have that posture is very important because what works for one child today may not work a few weeks from now. And so it's important that we continue to strengthen our relationship with Christ. And at the same time, we'll be able to, he'll help us through the parenting process.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Norma, this has been a great conversation, and we are going to actually, listeners and viewers, Norm has actually created a PDF download. We're going to put the link to that in the show notes where you can download that and everything that we talked about in terms of what are the pre-spring break conversations, what are the during spring break conversations, what are the after spring break conversations. It's all in that simple PDF document. So if you want kind of a cheat sheet as you're going through this, go to the show notes and we've got the link in there. But Norma, thanks for being with us and for, you know, coming alongside parents and helping them do better in this amazing job that God has given to them.
It's an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, listeners and viewers, we're going to put that PDF download in the show notes. We'll also put some other links about some other just family care resources that can help you have more of these ongoing conversations. So it doesn't feel like you're just trying to have the talk. You're really trying to build a relationship with your kids where every conceivable topic is open to discussion. Because we want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.